revival, peace, and revelation. As we continue our verse-by-verse exposition, we talk about that. We conclude the parenthetic chapter, chapter 7, as he prepares to sound and trumpets and to bring judgment on earth. Let's read chapter 8 together. Let's read the Lord and we'll read over it. The seventh seal was silenced in heaven for the space of about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and one of the seven prophets. The other angel came and stood at the altar, having brought incense. And there was given unto him much incense, and she offered the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And spoke against us, which came with the prayer of the saints, ascended up before God, and the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices thunderings, the lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels were set to seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire, wind and blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ship was destroyed. And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the earth. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood, and many men died because of water from the abyss. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was split, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened. The day shone not for the third part of the light while I left. And I beheld that her name was flying through the midst of heaven, saying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, of the three angels which are yet to sound. Let's pray. Father, we come to a very solemn passage in your word. One that gives us great pause to consider your justice, your judgment, and your wrath, as well as your love for us. But Father, your wrath and your justice have caused for equal praise and worship, even as your love and grace in us. We thank you, Father, that one day you shall reverse the curse, that one day you shall rebuild heaven and earth in perfection, in holiness, and righteousness, that sin shall be no more, Satan shall be bound, there will be a perfect utopia, but only as a result of your creative power and what you're about to do. So, Lord, as we consider these things, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Give us confidence and courage to protect your children, that you shall deliver us from this wrath to come. That all who belong to you will not suffer your wrath, but are rather appointed unto life. Lord, I pray that you consider this. This will cause us to have compassion on the lost, to have a motivation, to have people come to know the Savior, to be faithful witnesses. For there is terrible tragedies in coming to the earth, such as has never happened in history. Lord, may we be motivated to be a faithful witness in the light of this dark world and to be policy. Speak word and may we obey, for any truth we must give you the glory, for it is your work alone. The one without Christ this morning brought him to yourself, convicted of his sin, convinced of the truth of the gospel, made this be the day of their salvation. May you be glorified in all he said, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you recall in 8:1 he said, that as the opening of the seventh seal, you know, the first six seals were opened, as he opened them sequentially, one after another, it's the Lamb of God who opened them. It's the wrath of God, the wrath of land, and men by the highest good taste of the wrath of the sits upon the throne from the wrath of the land. The great day of wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6, 16, and 17. Who shall stand? Those who know Jesus Christ their Savior. Those who are sealed, 144,000, for that special mission that God gave them to the Jews of Antioch in chapter 7. And all believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit who walks us. And so any who come to Christ during this time will be protected supernaturally by God's wrath. They will will suffer at the hands of those who worship the Antichrist, those who reject Christ. There will be suffering for the leaders who come to Christ during that age, and they will come to Christ during the 7-year tribulation period. We will preach it in the two prophets in chapter 11, spoken between Moses and Elijah, through the angels flying through heaven, having the everlasting gospel, and through the witness of 144,000 Jewish angels. Many will be saved, many will come to Christ. And will not suffer the wrath of God. The truth will be one. This is the second truth, the church of Revelation 4:1, and the tribulation begins with 6:1, when the Lamb opens that first seal. But the seventh seal is not open because chapter 7 is parenthetic, as we looked at the last couple of weeks. Then there's silence in heaven, because when he opens this sixth seal, it is so shocking. The devastation is so complete. The wrath of God is so prolific. So terrible that as that seventh seal is opened, and it contains the seven trumpet judges and the seven bowl judges, because the seventh seal doesn't contain a separate judgment, but rather contains the seven trumpet judges. And as they look at what is going to unfold on earth, and God's wrath before it on earth, they gasp and hold their breath in silence. What's about to occur? God's wrath. The wrath of God revealed from heaven, because all that happens in righteousness of men, both truth and righteousness, Romans 1:18 says. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. For our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And God is about to pour his wrath on earth. This is the culmination of all the prophets prophesied. The prophets prophesied of the coming time of judgment when God will judge earth because of the curse. Because mankind has sinned, and the fall of the human race into a curse upon the earth and the universe, and Satan usurped the rightful place that Adam and Eve were to occupy. Adam was to be the vice regent of the earth. Now Satan's about it, in 2 Corinthians 4:4. God must take it back. God must intervene. Would he not intervene? We continue to disintegrate. We continue to murder, theft, and rape, and lies, and all the evil exists in the world today, with just only increase in growth, wickedness, increase in abounding. Latter times, terrible times will come, and that's what's happening. So, it is right for God to do this. It is just for God to do this. In so doing, in pouring out the wrath on earth, he's going to tear it down, and it will all quickly be consumed, and it will be a good heaven and earth, he tells us in Revelation 21:22. But until then, how does he get there? He gets there through his just wrath, through his justice. And we praise him. Again, it is the culmination of all the prophets' prediction. It is the end of all the prayers of the saints down through the ages who have suffered for Christ. Those who have been tortured. Those who have been dispossessed. Those who have been laughed at and mocked. Those who have been ridiculed and ostracized and outcast. Those who have stood for Christ and have suffered for it. And we have cried, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Set up your kingdom. Call your bride home. Come, Lord. We just need to deliver us from this evil, wicked world and deliver me from this sinful, wicked body with this sinful inclination, the flesh, and give me a new mind and make me righteous and holy, not only practically, but just practically and experientially, not just positionally, to be righteous and holy, truly, and one day we shall be. And so we pray for his coming, and this is the fruition of the prayer. Remember the imprecatory prayer of Revelation 6. He said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony that they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, are you not judging the dead that are blood upon the earth? This is the answer. This is what I promised. Because the son of them, the white ones are getting everyone, and said that they should wait a little while. And so they're running. And the fellow servants should be slain as babies were. And this is the end of the prayer. As they cry, how long? Now it comes. And as we looked at last week, it concluded in verse 6, it says, the seven angels and the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. As a prelude to it, though, in verse 5 there, chapter 8, that angel that had the prayers of the saints and offered them with incense, he took off the altar fire from the altar before the Lord. The altar of sacrifice, the altar where the sacrifices for sins were made. He took fire from that, in that censer, they cast it on the earth, and there were voices, lightnings, thunders, and earthquake. That's just a prelude to what's happening. That's getting the attention of that saying, look, something's happening. Something is about to take place. and the seventh trumpets are about to be blown. And so the first trumpet is blown, verse 7. Seven trumpets, seven blown, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and their power hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees and burned up, all the green grass burned up. This is God's judgment on earth. And these first four trumpets are all taking place on earth. They are judgments against nature. Judgments upon nature. Mankind has come to worship nature. Have you noticed? Earth Day. Many people gather. It's not just a day. We set aside and say, well, how wonderful this would be on earth. And we should take care of earth. Many people actually worship earth now. They worship the creation rather than the creator. And they believe that earth should be supernaturally attended to and that it should be worshipped as earth, Mother Earth, they call it, Mother Nature. How tragic that they worship the creation. They actually passed a law in one of the cities in California a few years ago that dolphins have the same right as human beings. People care more about dogs and cats than they do human beings. The guy in the street was a broken heart because one of his pups died when he was born. I understand that. But we don't cry when abortion goes 60 million plus days. We don't weep over mankind made in God's image. We should. So much more important to be concerned about mankind and that peace. And we see things happen like the tree is not letting progress happen. We love trees, but they won't let a tree be bent out. They might not move the earth because a frog might be disturbed or some obscure cricket might be destroyed as it puts on the food to help people to grow the factory or do something that would help mankind. It's far more important to be concerned about a cricket or an obscure frog. So, people value earth more than God. They value the plant. They worship the plant. They worship nature. If God is going to damage nature like we've never seen, you think mankind has done something that he does, but to believe the opposite. Wait till you see what God does. God is going to pour the wrath on earth, and the nature that they worship is going to be destroyed. The planet that they worship is not going to exist anymore in the form in which it existed. God is going to judge the earth because it is corrupt, it is fallen, it is under the curse of sin, and God must judge the righteous. It is holy, it is good, it is perfect for him to do so. And we rejoice in his judgment, even in his grace, even and in his mercy, because it's right. So God will pour out judgment. And that first one will bring hail. But the hail. Hail has always been a symbol of judgment and violence. We're told in Psalms, it said, you destroy your vines with hail, Psalm 78:47. We're told also that by fire and hail, snow and vapor, and stormy winds, fulfilling your word, Psalm 148. It fulfills the word of God. God's word that one day you should judge the earth. One day you should bring the earth back under his control. That's what the prophets predicted. It's being fulfilled right before our eyes as we look here at what John saw in his revelation. He said a little further in Revelation saw, he said that the temple of heaven was open, and it was seen in the temple of God, the ark of the covenant. And there were lightnings, thunderclaps, voices of an earthquake, and great hail. Revelation 11:19. And there fell a great hail upon men from heaven, each stone about the weight of a camel. And then blasphemed the name of God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. Revelation 16:21. You don't know how much a camel is? That's low form of trying to give a weight for a measure. About 56 pounds. So can you imagine these stones falling from heaven's hail? Each one weighing 56, 60 pounds, something like that. Can you imagine the damage it would do? The biggest hail we have recorded happened in Kansas in 1970. Could be as much as 21 inches long and as much as 4 pounds. The damage it did is just beat that pound of coffee to death, destroying everything in its path. Can you imagine what a 4-pound hail storm would do? But think about it, 56 to 60 pounds coming. No, men blasphemed God. The news from God, they blasphemed him because the plague is exceedingly great. God's going to judge with hail. He's going to bring a hailstorm on the earth. And that hailstorm is going to destroy trees, a third of them, with all the green grass. The could just beat it down to nothing. This hail, the fire mingled with blood. Now, we don't know if it's literal blood, but I think there's no reason to think that this is some definition to allegorize. It is hail. It is made by God. It comes from heaven. It is fire. It comes by God. Another symbol of the defining fire of God. And mixed with blood. It could be a natural thing that as this falls on the earth and blood arises and the smoke and ashes go up from these hailstones coming out of earth, that if you fall into the sun, it becomes red and it can appear to be his blood. Or it could be literal blood. God can certainly create blood and then it goes to hail and fire. No reason to allegorize it. But it creates a travesty on earth. The third part of the tree that burnt up in the man. Part of the oranges and tangerines and apples and all the things that grow on trees that feed mankind, the third part that's gone. It's going to devastate food. It's going to devastate and create shortages, great shortages. And then all the green grass was burnt up, if you can imagine that. You see, in the fifth trumpet of judgment, again, the grass is mentioned. How is it going to be? It seems to be an apparent contradiction, but not necessarily. A couple of explanations. One is there could be a long time lapse between the first trumpet and the fifth trumpet, so that there's time for the grass to grow back again. It could also be that in certain parts of the earth, it's winter when it's summer here, summer when it's winter there, so there wouldn't be green grass, it would be dormant. So the green grass is burned up, all the green grass, but the dormant grass is still there to grow back. So it's time for it to be one of the two things. It's not really a contradiction. We can solve that in our minds as we look at this. The third part of the tree is the burnt up of all the green grass. So you can imagine what this is going to do on earth. There'll be people holding scientific conferences. There'll be ecologists meeting together from all the countries of the world. The UN will meet. What can we do? How can we solve this? All the green grass, the trees are gone. We're shortage of food and the things that grow on the trees. What can we do? Because God's supernatural do this. There's nothing they can do. God is in control. It is his sovereign power to judge the earth. And to judge mankind will be judged and saved. We have precedence for this. And we're going to look back at the Old Testament several times this morning because, again, there's over 800 references to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. As we look back at Exodus 9, we see that this limits the things that God did with Moses when he was given the plagues through Moses on Egypt to let his people go. So look, when we turn back to Exodus 9, Genesis, Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And look at Exodus 9, 20. We have precedence for this, and that's what I want you to see. God has done these kind of things before. Even here's the word of the Lord, that's Exodus 9, 24. And one of the servants of Pharaoh made the servants as cattle into the house because God warned them there's coming hail. And it's going to be a terrible plague. And so if they feared the Lord, they put their servants, they put their animals, they put them, their cattle in their houses to protect them from what God said was going to happen. And neither regarded not the word of the Lord, because they didn't believe God was going to do this, which was most of the Egyptians, but the servants as cattle were feared. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail through all the land of Egypt, and upon men, upon beasts, and upon every bird of the field, for all the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hand and brought toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So it was hail and fire mingled with the hail. Very grievous, such as it was. None like it all the way to Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smoke brought all the way to Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smoke every herd of the field, and broke every tree of the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of the Lord was in no hail. And as we continue to turn back to Revelation chapter 8, you can see there's precedence for God bringing judgment to hail. He brought judgment on Egypt. Because they enslaved his people, God had asked and commanded Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh had hardened his heart and would not let them go. So God brought judgment upon him through the plagues. This was a plague of hail. Hail was so damaging, it could just muddle everything in his path. It's of a certain size and a certain quantity. And that's what happened here. It destroyed the crops, the food sources, the animals, everything that was not protected. The people did not believe God. God's people, the Jewish people, went on in the ghost and God protected them. He did not allow this to touch them, only the Egyptians. God protects his people. And then in verse 8, we see the second of the sun. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became water. Look back at Exodus 7. Just look back a couple of chapters here to show from Exodus 9, look back to Exodus 7. Exodus 7:17. Thus says the Lord, and this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite the wrath, then mine upon the waters, which are the rivers of nation, turn to water. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall learn to drink the water of the rivers. And the Lord said to Moses, take the rod and stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt, and upon the streams, upon the rivers, and upon the fountains, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. They lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the rivers in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servants. And all the waters that were in the rivers were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. The Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, but there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The Egyptians of Egypt, they could not do so in their enchantments. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he didn't listen to the Lord, as the Lord had said. And so, precedence again for turning water to blood. This is what happened when the second angel sounded. Keep your finger in Exodus, we'll be back there again. Turn back to Revelation chapter 8. When the second angel sounded, that great burden come, as it were, that's a simile or metaphor. Probably not literally a mountain, obviously, but a great meteor, perhaps something like that, a giant, huge stone as big as a state, falling. And when it fell on a sea. That's where God cast it, and so the third part of the sea became blood. Notice this is not a complete judgment. This is the third part, indicating that God's final act has not yet come, he's not yet been poured out. We shall see so in the bowl of judgments. God is still given time to repent. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but long suffering towards. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God has given him time to repent, just a third of the water become blood. And what happens as a result? The result of that, like what happened in Egypt, where everything that lived in those waters died and they stank, the fish stank because they died. Fish doesn't take long for them to stink, does it? You leave them out. So a third part of all the creatures were in the sea, whales, dolphins, all the fish, sharks, a third part of them had life, they died. They died because a third part of the water became blood. It's probably limited to a third part of the earth. A great deal of the earth, the three quarters of the earth is water, one type or another. So this is a devastating plague. A third part of them died, which has life. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. You can imagine that great meteor or whatever it is that God supernaturally sends to fall on the sea. Can you imagine the tidal wave that this creates? It's going to cause a third part of the ships to pop or to sink or be gone. What will that do to world commerce and the world trade? As so much of the world gets its goods, its food, and its clothing, and its furniture all from other countries that can ship back and forth across the seas, suddenly a third part of the fleets are gone. This estimate was about 30,000 merchant fleet. Merchant ships and merchant fleets. About 30,000, about 10,000 or 12,000 would be wiped out instantly. No more. That's going to cause great shortages as well, and great suffering. So there'll be a shortage of fish, a shortage of sea life. There'll be a shortage of ships in which to ship things and have commerce take place, going to cause devastation of the world economies. And then in verse 9, it says the third part of the creatures were here to see that left died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Gone. In verse 10, the third angel was about the sun. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were, another symbol, a metaphor. King James says a lamp. Here's my say a torch. But it's a light could be like a comet with that tail that looks like a torch. In the Old Testament, they call comets torches in the heavens because of the tail that follows them and is burning as it moves through the heavens and moves through the heavens. Burning, as it were, a lamp. And it fell, it wasn't literally a lamp, but as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers. The first devastation was in the trees, the grass. The second devastation was upon the seas and the sea life and the ships. This third thing, the sound of the devastation, is on the fresh water, the rivers, and the springs of the earth, one of the fountains of the earth. They're going to have something happen to them because this star fell upon the fresh waters. And we see the result in verse 11. So the name of the star is called Wormwood. Wormwood is something that is a plant that leaves are taken from which, it's not really poison itself, but the leaves are taken, they make something that is called abscess, an alcoholic beverage that is so toxic and so poisonous and outlawed in most countries. Abscess is made, and it's intoxicating, and people take it, you can find it, it's called the green something or other. I have no idea if it's green in my life, but it's something that people drink, and it makes them like crazy, insane, and they actually see visions, and it's a spiritual thing. I don't think it opens up to demonic influence. It's a very, very deadly poison that people drink in absence. But that's what it says, the word in Greek, the one word, absence. And the third part of the waters became one. So the third part of the rivers now, and the lakes, and the springs of the earth, the wells of the earth become wormwood. They become bitter. But it's a poison. Because it says a third part of them had died because the water is when they bitter, but made poison. They became wormwood. This is the only time you find the word wormwood in the New Testament. Jeremiah said, I will feed this people with wormwood, and I will give them poison to drink. Jeremiah 25:13. Wormwood. That's God's judgment. He's judging them. God has said, through Jeremiah, that he would feed these people with one, but they give them poison waters to drink. Because God is judging mankind and judging the earth. He's pouring out his judgment on the fresh waters now. And so, as men drink, they don't realize what they're drinking, and the third part of men die. Many men die because the waters are made wormwood. Look at me at Exodus 10. This is going to take us into the next trumpet, the fourth trumpet. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there shall be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. It's going to be, you've heard people say, it's so dark you can cut the eyes. You ever been in a dark situation like that? Perhaps in a room with no windows, and with all the doors shut and no lights anywhere, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face. That's the kind of darkness that God brought on Egypt that you couldn't even cut them up. It made him felt, he said. In verse 22, he said, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt in 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any man from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their eyes. They had lights because God protected them. He did not let the darkness fall on them. And so turn back to Revelation 8 and do my Exodus down. Revelation 8, we come to the fourth. The fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was stricken, the third part of the stars, the third part of the moon. So that the day shall not be the third part of it. Likewise, the night. So God's going to bring darkness. He's going to create signs in the heavens. He's going to create signs that God has done something. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. Now the earth shall be distressed of nations, nations that perplex the seas and waves roaring, he said, 1:21:25. Signs in the heavens. At the end of the tribulation period, we're told that when the days of this tribulation are ended, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall be turned to blood, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be restored, shaken. Chapter 25:21. God is going to do signs and wonders in the skies is going to bring signs that people can look up and they'll see a third part of the sun darkened. Can you imagine what happens to the temperature of the earth? If a third part of the sun is darkened, we've lost a third part of the heat source, a third part of the sun's rays, which caused things to grow and flourish as they did nurture upon the sun, and the sun's rays fall upon the crops and cause them to grow. However, the temperature of Earth is not going to be global warming. This will be a giant freeze. The freeze is coming. It's going to freeze. It's going to drop the temperature by a third. So that if you can imagine when we're in Alaska and places like that where it's already 50 below, it's going to be a third cold. This is going to cause, again, more great devastation as it becomes too cold to grow anything, too cold to do anything. A third part is darkened. A third part of the moon is darkened as well. So that it doesn't have that light at night. A third part of the stars is darkened. So that a third part of the day was darkened. So the day is shortened by a third. You think the day is short now, and you know, say, I wish I could get more done today. I wish I had more time to get something done. Well, the day is going to be shortened by a third. God is controlling the sun. Remember, he made the sun stand still for Joshua, that they might continue the battle and learn to take their enemies. God can do these things. You say, well, how will this be done? Well, God can do it. He has no problem doing it. These can be taken literally. There's no sense in allegorizing them. Remember our ruminants. Our method of hermeneutics is, in the plain sense, makes sense, seek to understand. Take every word that is ordinary and literally, unless the context clearly indicates otherwise. So we see here many times you say as or like. He's using symbols and metaphors, but not here. He's really not going to take this literally. The third part, the water has become blood. The third part, the trees, all the trees have become blood. The third part, of the grass. A third part of the waters become blood. A third part of the sea become blood. This is literal. This is God's judgment. God is doing this thing. So that fourth angel sounded, and when you see things happening with the sun, the moon, the stars, indicating that this is something you can't miss, folks. This God is doing something. This is unprecedented. You've never seen things like this. And you see these things happening, you must say, this is from God. And you would think this would call people to repentance. But it doesn't. It says, a little later on in the Revelation, God is pouring out the bowl, and he said, then the world of great heat, scorched the great heat. And they repented not to give the glory, but blasphemed not the power of his bed in Revelation 16:9. They repented not, they looked at the temple. Talk about hard hearted. People say, well, if God only showed me a sign, I believe. No, you didn't. If God just showed me a miracle, I believe in it. These people are saying tremendous signs. Awesome miracles of God's judgment and God's wrath. No one can have a supernatural gift from God. And yet, they repented not to give the glory. They did not repent because their heart is so hard. God's giving them time, only a third, a third, a third, a third, is judged. There's time to repent, but will you? No. Even as Pharaoh hardened his heart, God then hardened his heart for him. Never trust in Christ as your Savior. They just need that. May not go another day without Jesus Christ. This could happen at any moment. There's nothing left to happen on God's prophetic timeline before the rapture occurs. All the prophecies point to the second coming. The rapture, if you believe in the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, it happens 7 years before the second coming. Therefore, his return is imminent. It could be today. We may not finish this sermon. Christ is coming. It's imminent. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? Are you washed in his blood and trusted his crucifixion on the cross to be a substitutionary sacrifice for your sin? And call upon him to be your Savior. Trust in him because he's trustworthy. Because in a substitutionary sacrifice, he died for you that you might live. He paid a price for your sin that you only could never pay. The price he did not owe for you was perfect and holy, the Son of God, but he came for you who believe. This is coming. Wake up. These things are going to happen. These things cannot be taken away. These things cannot be stopped. These things will happen. Will you be here? If you miss the rapture, you won't be here. You will experience these things. As Christians, God will deliver us. God will take us up before. Revelation 4:1. He calls us up as a door open in heaven. He calls us to come before he pours his wrath on them. For God's not appointed us to be that. But to obtain salvation for our Lord Jesus Christ. First Thessalonians 5. You know? terrible things are going to happen on the earth. Signs of the sun, moon, and stars. The third part of it was darkened, so the third part of the day did not shine. God's supposed to form his ground on earth. You know, it all went across the supernatural protecting the world. But God loves his children. The wrath of God was poured out on the cross for his children. He will not pour his wrath on his children, for we are his. And Christ already endured the wrath of God on the cross for all who believe. But for those who refuse to believe, is coming time of great judgment. We participate in this. So God will darken the sky when we read the word darken or blacken the sun, the moon, the stars. They're not going to shine for the third part. And then in verse 13, it says, I beheld and heard an angel. Now, I don't know if your translation may something different. The King James says angel. In the Greek word is theotos, which is really the word for an eagle or a vulture. And so, supernaturally, there's an eagle or a vulture, probably a vulture, because of all the death that's going to take place, symbolizing this creature who eats the flesh of dead things. Vultures are going to be prolific. Many vultures, because there's going to be much to eat, and then die as a result of this place. He said that we held and heard an eagle or a vulture flying in the midst of heaven, saying to the loud voice, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth. By reason of the voice of the other prophets and the three angels, which are naturally sounding. So he gives three woes because there are three prophets yet to sound. Each of those are considered woes more intense than these first four prophets. More intense. The judgment is more intense. It's more difficult. It was awesome what's going to happen. And he's calling woe, 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 because these woes are coming. Because God's judgment is coming. It's even going to be worse than it has been. You've seen a lot, but you have seen nothing yet. And some more woes will come free more, and they're far worse than what you've already seen. And he's warning the inhabitants of the earth. What is he saying? To the inhabitants of the earth. This is another word for earth woes. This is unsaved people, as we've seen. When I said earth woes are inhabitants of the earth, these are people who do not know Christ as Savior. These are not the born again people. These are not the people of God. This is not the church. These are people who have rejected Christ, rejected the gospel, who are not saved. Woe, woe, woe to them, because you have great tragedy coming upon you. You have great judgment coming, and you are going to participate in it. You have great judgment coming to the earth, and it's going to fall on you because you know not Christ. You're hardened your heart. Come to Christ. You have time. Repent while there's time. God gives you time. He despises the riches of the goodness, long suffering, and forbearance of God. Not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Change your mind. Repent. Come to Christ. Turn. Come to Him. It's my spirit, this horrible judgment coming upon the earth. And again, these cannot be abrogated. These cannot be stopped. This is the word of God. This is written in the Bible. These things will happen. Men scoff. It's going like this ever since we're in the world. They forget that God destroyed the whole world in Noah's day. Genesis 6, in a worldwide flood. Every man, woman, child, every beast, except Noah and his family, we are perished when God judged the world. Well, there's precedence for worldwide destruction and God bringing judgment for the earth. Don't think this will not happen. This will happen. Would you be a baby coming across? Put your faith in Him. Who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Romans 9:13. Call. He will answer. Because His faithful will answer. His faithful God won't lie. God keeps His word. If you'll ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, call. The Lord save you. He will. Because He's faithful. And so, that bird flying through heaven pronounces, whoa, 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 everyone who was on your earth was in the unsaved. By reason of the voices of the other prophets, there's only been four prophets so far. Three more are yet to come. Worse or intense than these four that have already occurred. And the three angels which are yet to sound, are going to sound. This is coming. This cannot be stopped. This is happening in rapid succession. This is moving on. As next week we'll see, the next prophets, the next two in chapter 9, as God continues to bring judgment on the people think that like the Savior, they talk today, you hear them talk. You know, they want to stop mankind from drilling for gas and oil. You know that when that pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline, is blown up, that's a source of gas from which we make fertilizer. About 60% of world's fertilizer comes from BASF, the German company that takes natural gas and makes fertilizer. It's already predicted that the UN is 2 million people will probably die of starvation because they're not going to be fertilized. And in Europe, the price of heating and cooling your home has only gone up 300% in the last 90 days. It's taken 25% of their income just to put electricity in their house. And how much more, 25-30% to feed yourself because the food prices have gone up because they can't go on with food. We see the storm clouds gathering, folks. That's where I'm going to go. We see these things beginning to come to pass. These are not the four horsemen, these are the works of man. But if man can do this, can you imagine what God will do? Mass starvation is coming, Mr. Go to your food stores, Mr. Go to your store, shop, and go to the other, Mr. In many cases, you already have to go to the four stores to find what you want, don't you? Be aware of that. Be ready. Prepare as best you can. The Lord may come with witness, but prepare somehow. Be ready. Europe is going to another cold, cold winter because it depended on Russia for that gas, that natural gas to keep the homes and the factories and make industry work. Without that, they're cutting down forests all over the world. We should, even America, shipping the wood to Germany and the European countries so they can burn wood to keep warm because they've not earned enough electricity. They won't even France fire up their uranium so they can fire up those nuclear plants. Great shortage of electricity, but not electricity, but back to stomach. I just want you to be aware. I just want you to be warned. The hard times are coming. Time things are different, not the same as they were 10 years ago, 4 years ago. And it's okay because what we see when these things happen, we see the crisis coming back. His return is nearer and nearer. Jesus said, well, these things begin to come to pass. Look up! Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Jesus is coming back. And as we see these things happening, we can take courage, we can have joy, because Jesus is coming. He's returning. And so then, occupy the life of Jesus. Stand with Jesus Christ. Be ready for things that are happening. And as we see them happening, but be aware that Christ's return is near. And Jesus, because he's coming. Jesus said, it's going to be some tribulation, but give good cheer. Come to the world, John 16:33. He's overcome the world. And every believer is overcome the world and take the cross. So what does it? Pray and tap them because he's coming. Jesus is returning. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word, your promise of glory. Thank you, Father, that we're going to take the earth back and create a new heaven and new earth. And that we shall have the privilege of ruling the land of Christ. As kings and priests, all ruling, we shall share in the power, we shall rule and reign with you. Thank you, you delivered us from the wrath to come. That Christ has paid the price for our sin in full. There's no more wrath of children of God. We praise you, Father, for your grace that saves us in Jesus. We thank you for the joy of knowing you, of having our faith and trust that you always provide, you always take care of your children. We shall not be left alone. Even if it means death, you are with us and without the shadow. So we praise you, we worship you, then, the hope of heaven, the truth of heaven, that there's life after death. If all we know you, it's eternity of joy and bliss in your holy presence. Something for which we're not worthy, and therefore we must give you all praise and glory for your grace and your love and save us. Thank you, Father. Now that heaven is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, you glory in majesty, dominion and power, will now and ever.